Greetings and welcome back to our continued series of study of Daf Yomi. We are in Nivamot, Daf Gimel Amud Bet, right near the bottom. And in the last podcast, we discussed the essential p'tur of Erva and Sarat Erva and Sarat Sarat Erva from Yibum, and how it comes from Achot Ishto, etc. And now we're going to re-examine the entire premise from a very fundamental perspective. And this will launch us on a sugya that we will spend the next few podcasts studying. It takes us through Daf Chet, which is a significant Shaswite sugya of Aseh Dochalotaseh. So instead of giving a formal introduction, we'll just go right into the text and see how the Gemara does the same. Tama Dechata Rachmana Aleha. Now, yesterday's argument was premised on the extra word aleha in the context of Achot Isha. It says that even though Yevama Yavo aleha, when there's Achot Isha, aleha lo tikach, and from there we extrapolated to all the other arayot. Now, halav achyavin Achot Isha mityabemet. Right, so in other words, only because you have this extra word aleha. If not, the conclusion I would have come to would have been that Yibum trumps Erva. My Tama, what would be the reason? I mean, Ati Aseh v'dachi lo taseh. I have a general principle, which is that a mitzvah taseh trumps a lo taseh, meaning that when there is a mitzvah taseh to be done, and the vehicle or the method by which that mitzvah taseh is done will, in this particular circumstance, violate a lo taseh, I do it nonetheless. So, Eimar damrinan ati aseh v'dachi lo taseh greda. But I would not have applied that here, because I only apply aseh docha lo taseh when the lo taseh is a standard lo taseh. Lo taseh sheish bo karet midachi. We have no precedence for saying that a mitzvah taseh is docha alav that carries with it karet, which is obviously much more severe. That's one question we're not going to deal with at this point. We're going to deal with the more fundamental problem, which is, how do we know that an aseh is docha lo taseh in general? And that will be entire focus today and tomorrow. What we have in Sefer Dvarim, and it's pasuk number one on the page, which is really two psukim, we have several instances of this, is we have psukim that are juxtaposed, which is called smuchim. The Torah says you're not allowed to wear sha'anez, and in the very next pasuk it says you have to wear tzitzit. Dinim ta'aselecha. Now, what is strange about each one of these psukim in Sefer Dvarim is that the prohibition of sha'anez appears already in Sefer Vayikra, and that is pasuk number 7 on the page, and the mitzvah of tzitzit famously appears in Sefer Bamidbar. That's pasuk number 8, but the whole parsha of tzitzit, which means that each one of these things is extra. Now, that's going to come to play in a moment. Now, lo tavash shatnez din taselecha. V'yama Rabbi Elazar, smuchim min haTorah minayin. How do I know that juxtaposition is significant and should be used as a tool of inference? Shneimar smuchim la'ad li'olam asuyim be'emet v'yashar. In one of the beautiful praises of Torah found in Tehillim, Kuf Yod Aleph, the text says, smuchim la'ad li'olam. They are always smuchim, which literally means stood up or supported, but in this case means juxtaposed. Asuyim be'emet v'yashar. They are done with truth, which means truth can be discerned via the tool of juxtaposition. Good. So now, the Amar of Sheshet Amar Rabbi Elazar, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. So now we have an example of the utilization of smuchim. Minayin li'vamash nafla livnei mukeshchin. And this curiously comes back to Yevama, although not at all in our context. How do I know that if a Yevama falls to her deceased husband's brother, who is filled with boils, he's a disgusting person in some way, she'ein machosminota? How do we know that we don't muzzle or enforce her to accept his Yibum? She'nemar lo tachsom shor b'disho v'samich le'kiyeshuach im yachtav. The verse immediately preceding, in Sefer Dvarim, and that's critical, the verse immediately preceding the Parsha of Yibum is the prohibition of lo tachsom shor b'disho. You're not allowed to muzzle an ox while he is threshing. And that is Pasuk number 3 on the page. And what is the reason they are juxtaposed? Tell you that that Yibum is limited to a case where you don't have to muzzle the woman, as it were. This is somewhat homiletical, but nonetheless it's done through juxtaposition. Now, what that means is the juxtaposition we have just seen affirmed as a viable and a valid method of inference. If so, we roll back to the juxtaposition of the mitzvah of tzitzit to the prohibition of shatnez. It says it's there to tell you that when the mitzvah of tzitzit will be fulfilled through the violation of shatnez, we do it nonetheless, thus establishing a principle that asei do chalo taseh. But we still have to flesh this out. The Amar of Yosef, Afiliman de lochai de lodarish smuchim ma'oma b'mishnah Torah darish. And in Sefer Dvarim, which is where tzitzit and shatnez are put together, and by the way, where lo tachsom and yibum are put together, in Sefer Dvarim, even people who are not willing to read juxtaposition as significant enough for inference in any other chumash will do so in Sefer Dvarim. And that famous Tana is Rabbi Yehuda, who refuses to accept juxtaposition in other Sfarim, and will do so in Dvarim. And let's see that now. Da'am Rabbi Yehuda ba'alma lo chadodarish. Torah darish. How do we know that? Da'alma menalan do darish. How do we know Rabbi Yehuda does not accept the validity of smuchim in other chumashim? The tanya v'nazay omer ne'mar v'chashiva lo tachayev ne'mar kol shochev imam motjumat. If you look at pasuk number 4 on the page, it has the consequence for witchcraft, which is death, but it doesn't say what kind. And then it says immediately afterwards in the next pasuk that bestiality carries with the death sentence. Samchu inyan lo, and why are the two together? Ma shochev meima b'skila. Just like we learn in the Arayot, that someone who, in Parsha Kedoshim, that bestiality carries with it skila, av machashefa b'skila. So now, via juxtaposition, we now know what the execution for machashefa is. Now, that's Ben Azai. Amar le Rabbi Yehuda. Chim neisha samchu inyan lo, notzi ze l'skila. Just because the two are juxtaposed, we're going to take this machashefa out to skila. Ella, he says, I agree with you with the result, but not with the method. This next piece is based on a principle that's in the note that I put over the text, which is the following hermeneutic principle. Whenever there is a general rule, and the general rule has an unspecific consequence or characteristic, and then one example of the rule, one instance of the rule, is singled out and there is a consequence or characteristic that is explicitly given there, the notion is that it is not an exception proving the rule, but rather the exception leading the rule. In other words, it is singled out to tell you not about itself, but about the whole rule. The phrasing is called davar shehaya bichlal v'yatzah min haklal lamed, lo lamed al atzmo yatzah, lamed al klal kulo yatzah. Anything that was part of a general rule and was singled out was not singled out to teach about itself, but about all of the instances of the rule. And therefore, there is a general group of people called machshefim, which is Ov, Idoni, Chover Chaver, Menachesh, Me'onein, etc., all the ones that are listed in Perek Yud Ched of Torim. V'lama Yatzu, why is Ov, V'idoni, those particular necromancers, singled out, specifically at the very end of Parshat Kedoshim? Kishlon v'lamar lecha, ma Ov, V'idoni, b'skila, v'chashiva, b'skila. Just like an Ov, V'idoni, the text explicitly says, are stoned, so all mechashfim are stoned. And so that means that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Ben Azai's conclusion, which is that the punishment for Kishuf is skila, but he says we cannot get it through juxtaposition. Juxtaposition is not significant enough, and that's in Sefer Shmot. Mishnah Torah Menalan Dudarish, but how do we know that Rabbi Yehuda nonetheless accepts juxtaposition as valid in Sefer Dvarim? Did not. We have the following Mishnah, which is a Mishnah much later in Yivamot. Nosei Adam Anusat Aviv Futat Aviv. A man is allowed to marry his a woman who his father had relations with, who he never married, because she doesn't have a din of ishto, doesn't have a din of imo, and therefore there's no prohibition against a man marrying somebody who his father, let's say, raped, and then her father or she refused to allow the marriage. He could marry her. Anusat b'no umfutat b'no. And the same thing with his son, in the opposite direction. If his son raped somebody. Yehuda oser b'anusat umfutat aviv. Yehuda forbids the former two. The father's rape or pitui or seduction The Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav Maitam Rav Yehuda. Why does Rav Yehuda say that you are not allowed to marry Anusat Aviv? Torah says in Pasuk number 6 on the page, Torah says a man is not allowed to take his father's wife and uncover the kanaf, the corner, as it were, of his father. What does that mean? Kanaf sharaviv lo yigaleh, meaning anyone that his father had relations with, essentially, so it translates, he is not allowed to have relations with. How do I know it's referring to an anusan, not a proper wife? So me'ilave dekra, because the exact previous pasuk, immediately previous pasuk, tichtiv, the pasuk beforehand is the pasuk about ones, about rape. So v'samich lo yikach ish. So Rabbi Yehuda says, because of the juxtaposition, which is in Sefer Dvarim, I learned that that pasuk, lo yikach ish et esh taviv lo yigaleh kanaf aviv, is referring to an anusa. And then the Torah says you're not allowed to do it. So Rabbi Yehuda does accept juxtaposition in Sefer Dvarim. Now, Rabbanan, what are the Rabbanan who disagree and say you are allowed to marry Anusat Aviv? They say, they say, we would agree with you if it was immediately juxtaposed. That's an editor's, clearly an editor's note phrasing. But if we take a look at the pasuk, you could see that it reads as follows. And then, which is clearly about your father's wife, and then, that, according to Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation, is referring to Anusat Aviv. However, Rabbanan say, we would agree with you if it was perfectly juxtaposed. But the phrase, the beginning of that pasuk, interrupts it. Good. So then they said, so therefore they interpret it as being not about his anusa, but rather about his shomer yavam, meaning a woman who felt him for yibum, and then perhaps he died, so he never was able to consummate. And it's there to say that there's two lavim marrying the shomer yavam of your father. Now, v'mishna Torah, my time at the darish. So let's try to figure out, why is it that Mishna Torah is taken so differently, so that we are willing to be Doresh Smuchim. There is, of course, a literary reason for that, in that Mishnah Torah is presented as a composition. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's farewell speech, as opposed to the other mitzvot in Shmot, Vayikra, and Bamidbar, that are presented sort of in the order, we assume, in which they were given. But the Gemara goes in a different direction. It says as follows. Vayitem Mishum Demuchach, Vayitem Mishum Demufni. So we're going back now to Shatnez and Tzitzit. Either because it's muchach, meaning that it is obvious that this statement is totally extra, and therefore it's there to teach, or perhaps because it's mufne, meaning a word within the pasuk is extra, and it's extra there to create the juxtaposition. Baitem mishum de muchach, that's the first approach. Dimken lechatvei rachmana gabei arayot. Why doesn't the Torah say, we're still back with Rabbi Yehuda's case about Anusat Aviv. He says, why does Rabbi Yehuda learn Anusat Aviv ve'as muchim? He says, either because it's mufne or because it's muchach. Alright, so let's see, why would it be muchach? Because the Torah should have written it with the rest of the arayot and Sefer Vayikra. Right, then, mishum de mufne, the other possible ability is it's mufne, meaning, kenech to rachmana lo yikach ish et esh aviv. Lo yigala kanaf aviv lamali. What do you need the second half of the pasuk for? That's like, it's there in order to create what we call hafnaya, in other words, that the word or the phrase is superfluous, and it's there in order to say, hey, pay attention here, I'm here to create an analogy or a limud from another context. Good. Now, v'gavi tzitzit nami, this is what I jumped to by accident, v'gavi tzitzit nami, also in the context of tzitzit and shatnez, we also say it's smuchim. In other words, we're not willing to read smuchim unless we have a good reason for it. And the reason is because the phrase or the entire pasuk is extra. Good. Ibaitem mishum de muchach, mishum de muf, both possibilities. Mishum de muchach. Why? Dimken lechat verachmona, gabe parshat tzitzit. Why does the Torah write an extra pasuk about tzitzit here in Dvarim? Why doesn't it include gedilim taselacha somewhere in the parsha of tzitzit? So the mayach takat veyacha, why did the Torah write it here? So here, wrote it here to connect it to shat, as it said, trump shat. Ibaitem mishum de mufne. Or it's mufne mechtik tivu veged kil ayim shatnez. This is in the context of shatnez. in Sefer Vayikra, it says, Uveged kilayim sha'nez lo ya'ale alecha. Right? A mixed garment that's called, that's sha'nez, should not go up on you, should not be worn by you. So lo tilba sha'nez lamali, so what do I need? You shall not wear sha'nez in our pasuk. Shvaminela afnuye. So we challenge this by saying, Hani mitzvach tzrichi. These two psukim about sha'nez, the one in Vayikra and the one in Dvarim, the one in Vayikra is, again, pasuk number 7, and the one in Dvarim is pasuk number 1, are both necessary. Why? If the Torah only wrote the one in Vayikra, which is a such a beggar should not go up on you, I would think that any time you put such a beggar over you, it's asur. Even if, let's say, you're wearing the garment as somebody who's selling garments, right? That's the famous sugi from Shimon, who says machrek sut can sell their garments in a normal fashion, obviously to non-Jewish buyers if the shatn is. And they don't have any concern because they're not wearing it for benefit. They're wearing it to, they're holding it over their shoulders to sell them. Therefore, the Torah had to write the one in Dvarim that says you shall not wear. Dumia dilavisha. It has to be just like wearing. Diipe hanav. It has personal warmth or benefit for the person. If the Torah only wrote lo tilbash as in Dvarim, I would think dafka levisha the nafish hanayata. I would think that it's specifically wearing, which is extra, which is more on a halal, but perhaps just putting it on like as a blanket or as a wrap or as a sheet under you would not be asur. Well, sheet really is not. It has to be halal. That's exera darbonin. But as a blanket or as a serapi or something like that, I would think is not asur at all. So therefore, the Torah really writes two different ways to create attention. Lo yale expands the isur, lo tibash limits the isur, so that it is any derech halah that has the kind of benefit of associated with levisha. So even though the chachmona lo tibash shatnez, so now I understand though what's extra. The Torah only had to write lo tibash shatnez in Devarim. That would give me levisha, and then I would know the tension. Semru ufishtim lamali. Why did the Torah have to write don't wear shatnez? Semru ufishtim yachdav. Right. After all, I already know from Vayikra that shatnez is tzemer ufishtim, and therefore I don't need to repeat that here. After all, how do I know that the prohibition includes specifically wool and linen based on Vayikra? Vayikra doesn't say tzemer ufishtim. The answer is as follows. Tanur Rabbi Shmuel. Now this is a basic lesson of Rabbi Shmuel that we get, if take a look from the last pasuk on the page, which is from the context of nigei begadim, sarat of clothes. What does the Torah say? Beged ki yevo nega sarat beveged zemer o beged pishtim. If there is a nega, if there is a sarat, in a wool garment or a linen garment. And Tana Rebbe Shmuel from there, that all begadim in the Torah, unless they explicitly refer to themselves in it as a, are referred to as a different material, are beged, are zemer and pishtim. So therefore, when the Torah in Vayikra says beged kilayim, all that could mean is the two things that we call beged are mixed together. It's tzemer ufishtim, wool and linen. Hu yavan emru b'Torah stam begadim, since the Torah says the word begadim all over the place. Peral lecha katuv b'echad mehen, and in one of the cases, which is negaim, pasuk number 9, it gives you explicitly what the materials are. Tzemer ufishtim, I've called tzemer ufishtim, so now I know that every time the Torah says beged, it refers to tzemer and pishtim. So tzemer ufishtim lechad rachman olam. So what do I need tzemer ufishtim in Dvarim? Lo tibash shatnez tzemer ufishtim. Shma mina la'afnuye. It's there to be extra, to create the juxtaposition with tzitzit, to say that tzitzit is doche. Akati yitzdarich, I still need tzemer ufishtim. Why? Sakta tachamina hu'alahi dulo nafish ha'na'ata. I might come to the following conclusion. If it didn't say tzemer ufishtim in Dvarim, I might think in Vayikra, the word beged is there, because it means tzemer ufishtim, like Tanur Rabbi Shmuel, because that's halah, halah, just wearing something over you like a blanket, that's not as much hanah. So therefore, the Torah perhaps only prohibited tzemer ufishtim. Aval levishah, denafish hanayatah, perhaps when it comes to wearing a garment as clothes, which is more hanah, kol trei mini asur achmana, maybe the Torah forbade any two mix, and a cotton and linen, wool and silk, perhaps. Right? Gadav achmana, tzemer ufishtim. Therefore, the Torah says tzemer ufishtim in Dvarim to tell me that even when it comes to levisha, it's only tzemer ufishtim which is prohibited. If that's the case, so if that were the case, the Torah could be absolutely silent. Just say Lotobas Shatnez. But take the Shatnez, Shatnez, mi Allah. But then I would have had nowhere else to go but to the other mention of Shatnez, which is in Vayikra. And I would have said, just like Allah is Shatnez, is Tzemru Fishtim. So here I can't automatically expand it to something else. Right? So now, according to Tanu Rabbi Shmuel, then we understand how this entire system works. He says that the Beged always means Tzemru Fishtim. That means that in our context in Dvarim, Tzemru Fishtim is extra. The fact that it's extra is there to draw attention to its superfluity, and therefore its association with the Parsha of Tzitzit, which is also extra, because it should have been written in Bamidbar, to say these two are juxtaposed to tell you when they collide, you do Tzitzit nonetheless. Now, V'tana Rabbi Shmuel, Tamar Achat Rachmana Tzemru Fishtim, Halavachi Kilay Mitzitzit, Havi Mena Da'asu Rachmana? Wait a second, you're going to tell me that according to Tanu Rabbi Shmuel, if it didn't say Tzemru Fishtim, I would have thought that in a collision between Tzitzit and Shatnez, Shatnez would win, and I don't do the mitzvah? V'aktiv asu lehem Tzitzit al-kafei vigdehem. After all, the Torah says in Pasuk number 8, make Tzitzit on the corners of their garments. And what did Tanu Rabbi Shmuel hold? Every time it says garment, it means any garment of wool or linen. Tanu Rabbi Shmuel, kol begadim Tzemru Fishtimim. Right? Rachmana avi le'tchelet. And the Torah said, put tchelet. Now tchelet, as we're going to find out in a minute, has to be wool. And if that's the case, that means the Torah says, put these strings, including a wool string, on any of your garments, which means wool or linen garments. So by definition, without the juxtaposition, tzitzit is going to include the possibility of shatnez, and you do it nonetheless. And how, but parenthetically, tchelet amrahu, how do I know that tchelet is tsemer, is wool? My tchelet amrahu? It is shesh kitna tchelet amrahu. The reason we know that is because it's a sugi in Yoma, in the beginning of the seventh parak, that the text in Yechezkel, in describing the Bigdei Kohanim, says that they only wear tzemer and not pishtim, as if to say that Bigdei Kohanim normally are both tzemer and pishtim. And we have a list of the materials that are used to weave the threads, the Bigdei Kohuna, and the only one of it that it stipulates what it is sheish. Sheish is linen. That means that all of the other ones must be wool. Because tzemer ufishtim. So all the other ones must be wool. And one of the threads that's used to weave the garment is tchelet. Tchelet must mean blue-dyed wool, not linen. So therefore, when the Torah said, put wool strings on your garments, and garments, according to Mishmael, means either wool or linen, right there you got shatnez. So that's not the case. It starts out in the Kedurava. I might have solved it like Rava did. Durava, Rami, he had the following challenge, the following contradiction. Ktiv ha-kanaf. The Torah says, v'anu al-ha-tzit ha-kanaf, p'til t'chelet, on the corner of ha-kanaf, meaning, the way he reads it is min kanaf, meaning the string has to be the same as the garment. Ktiv tzemru fishtim, and here it says tzemru fishtim. Ha-ketzer, how do you solve it? Tzemru fishtim patrin ben minan ben shalob minan. So wool and linen are valid and exempt the beged, whether or not the garment is the same type or not. Tzemru fishtim is the universal donor, if you will. Shar minin b'minan potrin shlob minan in potrin. Any other kind only exempts if it's their own type of beged. So in other words, according to this, a cotton string would work for a cotton beged. Good. So that means that we would have not automatically read shatnez into this. We would have just read that al-kanfei vigdehem just means that you put the same exact type on the garment. And then how would I read this lastly? What I would say, that wool can go on any garment, except, of course, linen, and linen can go on any garment, except, of course, wool, but cotton or silk or anything else could take either wool or linen tzitzit, it'll be fine. So I still don't know that Tanu Rabbi Shmuel, I'm still at the point Tanu Rabbi Shmuel really does need Tzemru Fishtim extra, because I would not have learned it this way. But we know that Tanu Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with Rava, because Rava, if you look at his drasha, says, essentially, all begadim are chayv and tzitzit. And when the Torah says, al-kanfei vigdehem, it's talking about cotton or linen or wool or silk or any other garment, even sack. Whereas, according to Shmuel, it means only wool or linen. So they obviously disagree. Perhaps he still would have accepted Rava's careful reading, Hakanaf mean kanaf, and he would have interpreted it differently. Hachikamar Rachmana, avi le tzemer le tzemru fishtim le pishtim. In other words, maybe what the Torah is saying is tzemru fishtim, meaning you could make tzitzit out of tzemer or out of pishtim, and because of a kanaf, min kanaf, it should be the same material as the garment, which means that if you have a wool garment, put wool tzitzit, if you have a linen garment, put linen tzitzit. Avina tzemer letzemer tzave, when you do wool, so then you could color it tchelet. About tzemer lepishtim, pishtim letzemer lo, but I would think that you shouldn't put wool strings on a linen garment and vice versa. Therefore, the Torah wrote Semer Ufishtim in order to tell me that you do indeed put Semer on a Pishtim garment, Pishtim on a Semer garment. In other words, Tzitzit is Doche Shatnitz. Now, just to review all of this, because it's somewhat confusing, the entire focus that we had in today's session, in this podcast, was about the elemental limud of aseh docha lo taseh, which of course is an important building block towards the sugya of yibum, and yibum in the case of an erva and tzaret erva, because our opening notion was that only because of the word aleha in the context of achot isha do we say that yibum is not docha. Otherwise, we would have said yibum is docha. And we would have said the reason yibum is docha is because of Aseh Docha Lo Taseh. So we immediately rejected that out of hand and said, we don't have any precedent to say that Aseh is Docha Lo Taseh that has Karet. But then we took a step back and said, so what is the Makor to say Aseh Docha Lo Taseh at all? We said that we got it from the connection of Shatnez and Tzitzit. The very next thing that we did was to say that Shatnez and Tzitzit, we infer the connection because of their smichut, their juxtaposition in Sefer Dvarim, and then we proved that even those Tanaim who do not accept the validity of juxtaposition in other Sfarim, such as Rabbi Yehuda and the issue of the Machashefa, still do accept the validity of juxtaposition in Sefer Dvarim. We then said, we proved it from Rabbi Yehuda's approach to Anusat Aviv and Futat Aviv, the Mishnah towards the end of the Masachet. And we said the reason that he accepted it was because he maintained that the presence of that Pasuk was either totally out of place, because it should have been the Riyah Arayot, or the second half of the Pasuk, Loi Galek Kanaf Aviv, was superfluous, and it was there to teach that it is referring to Smuchim, and it's referring to Anusat Aviv. And in Tzitzit, we said the same thing, that the presence of the whole mitzvah of Tzitzit in Dvarim is out of place. It should be in Bamidbar. And in the context of Shatnez, the word Tzemer Ufishtim is extra, according to Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel says, all Begadim are automatically Tzemer Ufishtim. Therefore, when it says Tzemer Ufishtim in Vayikra, when it says Shatnez in Vayikra, Beged Kilam Shatnez, I know that that's a Beged that's mixed, which is the two things that make up a Beged, which is Tzemer Ufishtim. So therefore, I know that Shatnez here means the same thing. I need both Sukkim because I need to have the tension between Halah and Levisha. But nonetheless, I know that Tzemer Ufishtim is understood. Why is Tzemer Ufishtim written here? Again, to create the juxtaposition and tell me that it is trumped by the mitzvah of Tzitzit. Then took a little bit of a detour and said, wait a second, why would Tanya Rishmael need Tzemer Ufishtim even without that, which of course would leave us with a big problem of what would he do with Tzemer Ufishtim? Even without Tzemer Ufishtim, he would have to come to the same conclusion that Tzitzit is Docha Shatnez, because Tzitzit itself describes putting Tchelet, which we know is wool, al kanfei vigdehem. Vigdehem, according to Tanya Rishmael, has to refer to both wool and linen garments, and by definition, therefore, the Torah is saying, put the wool string on either a wool or linen garment. So the Torah right away is prescribing violating Shatnez to do Tzitzit. So he said, no, maybe Rabbi Shmuel would read that Pasuk like Rava, who says that HaKanaf refers to having it be the same type of the string, the same material as the Beged. He said, well, that can't be, because the Tanu Shmuel disagrees with Rava about what Beged means. He said, yes, but he still might have accepted the careful reading of HaKanaf and said, maybe the Torah said that if you have a wool garment, put wool strings. If you have a linen garment, put linen strings. Of course, according to Tanur Shmuel, the Torah couldn't be referring to any other kind of garment. But you would put linen strings. And of course, in the case of it's a wool string, so you color it. Therefore, it wrote Tzemer Ufishtim to tell me that Tzitzit is Docha Shatnez, and that means that even when the garment is linen, I still put wool Tzitzit on it, violet Shatnez, and that's how we know the principle of Aseh Docha Lo Taseh. We will continue with this, Mirtz Hashem, in the next podcast, because we have to review the Rabbanan's approach to the entire issue, because they do not accept Tanur Rabbi Shmuel's read of the definition of Begadim, and therefore do not have a source for the words Tzemer Ufishtim are not extra in the context of Shatnez in Dvarim, and therefore they need to find another source for Aseh Do Chalot Aseh. We should have a wonderful day.